Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
If we can just take a moment before we get into the Word of God and just think about the goodness of God. If you want to close your eyes, you certainly can. For some of us, we go back to maybe when we were younger and how God kept us. We could have ended up in many different areas of life, but God's hand seemed to be upon us whether we recognized it or not. Or maybe even today, currently in your current life, you can just see the hand of God upon your life, His goodness. And even as they just sang, He just keeps running after us. So just think for a moment, just reflect and meditate for a moment the areas of your life that you have seen God's goodness. And in the midst of that, you can thank God, you can praise God, you can whisper something beautiful unto your Father or under your breath or even in your heart. But just connect His goodness with a thanksgiving or a praise to God. Father, you're so faithful. You're so faithful. We hear this phrase, God, sometimes that you're better to us than we are to ourselves. And Father, that is so true. You still love us despite everything that you know about us. And God, today we just say thank you. Thank you, God, for touching our bodies, touching our minds. Thank you, God, for redeeming us, saving us, bringing us into your family. And God, even thank you for bringing us here in this moment right now. And God, even in this space, we release cares. We release, God, worries, anything right now that will hinder us from receiving all that you have for us in this sacred moment. Father, we give it to you. Your word says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And so, Father, that's what we do even in this space right now. Concerns that we have, God, we lay it down at your feet, God. Worries that we have, we lay it down at your feet, God. Anger, whatever it is, God, that we have that we can't handle it in and of ourselves. It is too heavy for us, Father. We release it right now to you in the name of Jesus. We do it by faith. And Father, even as we continue to worship and continue to hear your word and fellowship together, God, I pray that in exchange for that heavy thing that we've been carrying, God, that you will give us something that is so much lighter. Your word even reminds us of it. Your word says that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so, Father, we receive what it is that you have for us now. Teach, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the alabaster box. Let me just share this with you for a moment, if you can join me on this journey. So one view of the alabaster box is that this box, and we'll see it in Scripture in a moment, represents our lives. So imagine that everywhere we are in our lives, and we do this, we're carrying around this box. And there are certain things in this box that we love to show people. You know, look at the pictures of my kids. Look at the successful areas of my job. But there are certain things inside of this box that we don't want anyone to see. But God sees it. But there's this aspect of us that tries to hide certain things from our life, even from the one that sees all things. And the beauty is that even though God sees all things, he is not going to rip through the box and command or demand us to show us him those areas that we hold so dear. He wants us to bring it to him willfully. And what we're going to look at today is the life of a woman who had this box and she was preserving it for so long, but she finally gets to this place of her life where she brings this box and she breaks it open and she pours it all out on Jesus. What's in your box? There may be certain things in our box that we say, I can't pour that on Jesus. I can't give that to God. Do you realize that God can handle anything that we want to bring to him? And so the journey that we're going to go on today is, what's in your box? What's in your box? What's precious that's in your box? What's not so precious in your box? God wants all of it. So he's looking for us to surrender all of that to his will. Another aspect of the box symbolizes giving God our best, or again, giving God our all. This woman in this story, Mary, she did not bring her least, we'll see it. She actually brings the most expensive thing to God. So what is the most prominent thing about your life? So there's one thing where, you know, this is the low thing, and God, I need for you to take care of this. I'm bringing it to the altar. This is the thing that I don't want. God, I just wish that you would just take this away. I don't want it. I don't know why. I got to keep carrying it around. And God says, bring that to me. But what about the high moments? What about the good things, the expensive things, the prominent things, the things that is good? And God says, I even want the things that are good. I want the things that are expensive. I want all of it. And that's what God is asking for today. Can we truly, like the song says, surrender all? What's in your box? Are y'all ready to peek inside your box? And God is all knowing, so he doesn't have to peek. He already knows what's in there. But again, he's waiting for us to open it up and then to take it out and say, Father, here it is. And what are we willing to give God today? And so we look at John 11:1. Let's look closely at this woman, Mary. There's some dynamic things that's in here. It says, John 11:1, it says, now a certain man named Lazarus was ill. He was of Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. So as we walk through the scripture, I want you to, sometimes we look at Jesus and we look at Lazarus, and if you were on Bible study, maybe we was looking at Martha. But this time I want you to look at Mary. I want you to take a look, a close look at this woman named Mary. Let me share another scripture that we don't have on the screen, but I want you to kind of see who is this woman Mary, and how does she act, and how can you identify with her? Luke 10:38 says this. Now, while they were on their way, Jesus was walking with his disciples. It occurred that Jesus entered a village, and there was a woman named Martha. She received and welcomed him, Jesus, into her house. Listen to this part, verse 39. It says, and she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. Mary, compared to her sister, Martha was very busy and she just always wanted to go and do different things. But Mary, as Jesus came and sat down, Mary decided that she just wanted to kind of sit at Jesus' feet, which was a sign of fellowship. It was a sign of pour into me, Lord. She sat there. I need to receive what it is that you have to say. That's Mary. So who do you identify with? Is it Martha, the busy one, the active one, always active? I'm talking about even in God's presence, always active. Or is it Mary, that when you realize that God has come into your house, God has stepped into your space, you decide, I know there's dishes that need to be done, laundry that need to be taken care of, the phone needs to be answered, but God has entered my space and I'm going to decide to sit down at the feet of God and I'm going to ask him to pour into my life. Where are you at, Martha or Mary? So Mary's journey begins in that scripture. So we continue on, John 11, verse 2. And it says, this Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was now sick, and we'll look at that in a moment. So there are a few different Marys in the Bible that you may be familiar with. And I bet you if I ask you, besides this Mary that we're talking about, is there another Mary? And you probably would say, well, the first one that I can think of is Mary, the mother of Jesus. But we ain't talking about that Mary. There's another Mary, Mary of Magdala, but we're not talking about her. There's another Mary, the wife of Cleopas. We're not talking about her. Mary, the mother of John Mark, or Mary, who was a Christian woman in Rome. We're not talking about any of those Marys. We are talking about Mary, who is the sister of Martha and Lazarus. But let's go deep for a moment as we keep verse 2 up here. The word Mary, Hebrew word, is Miriam. And so if you remember in the Old Testament, Moses had a sister whose name was Miriam. Stay with me on this here. The root word of Miriam is pretty much Mary, M-E-R-I. And literally that word means bitter. Stay with me as we're looking at this lady named Mary. That root word, Mary or Miriam, literally means rebellion. The root word means that, listen, I'm going to just put it in my own words, God, I don't want to do what you're telling me to do. I know nobody in here is like that. Where you know that God is leading you to do something, leading you to go somewhere. He wants you to do something, and you say, I ain't doing it. I'm not moving, God. The root word of this woman, her name that we're talking about, Mary, literally means either bitter or angry or I'm not doing it. But when you listen and you watch her, she almost does the opposite of what it is that her name means. So what is this telling me? That somebody can call you something, name you something, you could have been through situations, but that is not how you have to behave in life. I said, but that's the name that they put on me. That's the situation they put on me. That's the circumstance they put on me. But Mary, she decides that even though my name, Mary, Miriam, Mary, literally means bitter or God, I don't want to do what it is that you're telling me to do. She decides that every time I get in Jesus' presence, I'm going to sit down at his feet. Until I get to the point where this box that I've been building, I'm able to pour it all on him. See, if I'm rebellious, God, I ain't giving you nothing. And I don't know where this came from, why in the Old Testament this Mary, this word, Miriam, Mary, Miriam, Mary, I don't know why it became bitter. And I know Moses' sister, she kind of had some things going on with her, but she was considered a prophet. But they took these names, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Wow. So even Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary means bitter, rebellion. I won't do it. But guess what Mary, the mother of Jesus said? Lord, be it unto me as your will or as you have spoken. So the New Testament, Mary's flipped it and said, God, even though I could be bitter, I could be rebellious, I choose not to. I choose to sit at the master's feet. Because possibly bitterness is hovering over my shoulder. And now my brother, bring it current, Lazarus, is sick. And I could be bitter. God, why would you allow Lazarus, who is your friend, to get to the point where he is so sick that he is about to die? I could be really bitter and angry about this. But Mary, she's going to go a different direction and chooses not to. So the question today to us in this place, do we have any bitterness in us? Do we have any anger in us? Do we have anything in us that we know God is saying, come on, come on this way. Come on this way. And we are like a stubborn mule that refuses to go. And is God speaking to us today? What is God saying that I need for you to start moving in this direction? And are we saying no? And the reason why we're saying no is because there's something in our heart that we just don't agree with. We just don't like. I don't like how it worked out. And God, I just don't want to move. I don't know if I can trust moving again like I used to. And God today is saying, trust me. Pour it all out. pour it all out. Don't hold back anything. And so we continue on. Verse 3. So the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent for him, Jesus, saying, Lord, he whom you love so well is sick. I love this. So yeah, we're looking at Martha, but I want you to zone in on Mary. Again, Mary's name is bitterness. Mary's name is, you know, I don't want to do it. But in the midst of it, she sends word. She sends word. My brother is sick, but I'm sending word to Jesus. My brother is sick, but I'm sending word. How often do we send word to God when something in our life is not going the way that we want it to go and ain't nothing I can do about it? Send word to God. Listen, get a little closer. Don't stop praying. Don't stop talking to God. Well, I don't know if it's working. That's what faith is. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's not based upon whether I can see it. It's not faith if I can see it. If I have evidence that I can say it works, why do I need faith? If I can work this situation out myself, why do I need God? So the question becomes, are we really walking by faith or are we walking by sight? Are we walking by our calculations? See, if I do one plus another one, shoot. Rashawn, that's going to equal two, right? Right? And then we say, God, I trust you. Do you really? Do you really? So right now, God is challenging us. If you have pulled back on your prayers, so here it is. God is saying, increase your prayers. Why have you stopped? Because I didn't get the answer I wanted. I'm with you. Don't stop praying. There's so many examples in the Bible where the prayers were taking place and the answer was coming, but the people could not see the answer, so they were about to stop. And then the angel will come and says that God heard you the first time that you started praying. But the answer got held up in a different realm. But the answer is coming. So if I can encourage somebody, whatever it is that you're praying for, if it's in line with God's will, the answer is coming. But it might be possible that it's being held up in a spiritual realm. And God is waiting to see, will you remain steadfast in that place until the answer come, or will you move? And now the answer has dropped, but I'm not there. I got tired of waiting, so I shifted. But the answer came. So God is challenging us, and I heard this morning. Stay put. Stop moving. Stay put. This morning I came in here and I started praying at our little altar here. And I was like, we need some pads. But God, I believe, is challenging us as a body of believers. Let's get back to prayer. For some reason, I think we've stopped praying. We've stopped calling on the name of Jesus and really travailing and praying. I ain't saying it got to be all this deep stuff, right? Because Jesus talks about don't be repetitive. But listen, the prayer of faith, God is asking. So that might be somebody's area in here. You just got real lax on prayer. And today's message to you is get back to praying. Get back to praying. Amen. Get back to it. So Mary and Martha, I just want to see, if you can just see Mary, if you can just see this person, that she's in this place where she could be bitter, but she's saying, I don't want to. She could say, I don't want to believe God, but she's saying, I don't want to. And the way that she keeps exercising her faith is by either sitting at the feet of Jesus or asking someone, please, my brother is sick. Go tell Jesus I need him right now. Oh, what an urgency. My kids are sick. My family is sick. My job is crazy. My money is sick. Anybody money ever get sick? And God, I need you right now. Jesus takes 4 days to get there. What you gonna do for 4 days? Lazarus dies. What do you do? What do you do where you ask Jesus to come and it seems as if he's not showing up on time? So the thing that you were asking him to do in your eyes seems like it expired. But there is no time in God. What does that mean? God, I need by Wednesday? By Wednesday, 3 p.m. is when they're saying, I need it. And God seems as if he's just kicking back. We're going to wait 2 days before we even start moving. And now my faith is being challenged because I don't even know if he's coming. And so when you look at this verse right here, we're jumping over some things. Verse 17 says, so when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Verse 18 says this, Bethany was near Jerusalem, and it was about 2 miles away. 19, and a considerable number of the Jews had gone out to see Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Now we got an audience. Okay, so now it's not just you. Now you got an audience waiting to see what God's going to do in your life. If it was just me that had to hold on to the promises of God. But now I got these other people, and I've been telling these other people, yo, Jesus is our friend. I know he's going to show up. God is my friend that stick closer than a brother. I know he's going to show up. He showed up last time. He showed up this time. Da, 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 da. And now there's a crowd, and they're watching. Oh, it's going to be okay. And they're already putting Lazarus in the grave, which makes sense. And they're consoling, and they're saying, it's going to be okay. You know, God, you ever hear this phrase? God works in mysterious ways. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. It'd be okay, my sister. Here's a box of tissues. And this crowd is doing what they know to do. And they're consoling Mary and Martha. But is that enough? We go to the next verse. Verse 20. When Martha, the sister, heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. Look at what Mary's doing. While Mary remained seated in the house. So here's my question. It doesn't say when Mary and Martha heard. It just says Martha heard. Why didn't Mary hear it? Is it possible, and I don't know because the scripture doesn't tell us, is it possible that Mary was struggling with, I don't know if I want to believe God, I'm about to slip into bitterness, I'm about to slip into anger, and the people said, hey, Jesus is coming, but Mary couldn't hear it because maybe she was just, I don't know, she couldn't hear it because the scripture doesn't say that Mary and Martha heard that Jesus was coming. It says that only Martha heard it. Where was Mary? Has that ever been you? Everybody else is hearing about the presence of God and the move of God and the touch of God, but for some reason, I'm not hearing him. And is it possible because I'm in such an intense battle that I used to could hear God? I used to could know when the presence of God was coming, but now I can't. What happened? What happened? And if you're in that place, even if you don't feel it, keep calling out to Jesus. Go to the next verse. So it continues on in verse 28. We're jumping over some things. Well, what happened between 20 and 28? So Jesus is having this discussion with Martha, and Martha is saying, if you had been here, blah, 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 and Jesus is asking her, do you believe? And she's like, yeah, but do you believe? He's like, but do you believe in me? And she's like, yes, 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 I do believe. And she's at this point where she's now convinced that Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead. But now she's got to go back and get her sister because her sister is still sitting in the house. Her sister did not hear what she heard. And there are some people like that in our lives. You go back home and you're excited. You're saying God is doing great things. They didn't hear what you heard. So bring it down a little bit and tell them this. She went back. and called her sister Mary privately. Sometimes you got to get people away from the crowd, right? So there's this whole crowd. Oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And she's kind of like, hey, Mary, come here. Come here. I got something to tell you because I don't want them to hear it. I don't want them to hear it because they might say, Martha, you're just crazy. You're crazy, Martha. Leave Mary alone. And then we got tissues for her. And call Mary over and whispers to her and says, Mary, the teacher, Jesus, is close at hand and he's asking for you. Praise God. So if you're in here today and you're saying, you know what? I feel like I'm missing God. I can't hear God the way that I used to. I can't hear God. Here's a message to you today that God is asking for you the way that he asked Adam and Eve, where are you? And it's not that he can't see you. He wants your heart. Where's your attention? Where's your admiration? Where's your worship? Where are you? And God today is asking for you. So how do you think Mary responds to this? Oh, go on, tell Jesus to go somewhere. I'm busy with my friends. Go to the next verse. Mary, she heard this and she's sitting and she jumps up and quickly runs to Jesus. All of these people in the universe. And God can say, because he is everywhere, he's all knowing, he can say, you know what? I miss you. I miss spending time with you. Why didn't you come when Martha came? Why are you still sitting in there? I want to spend time with, I miss you. And I believe that's part of the message that God is sharing today. I miss you. But I love this. When you sense God's presence, how do we react? Do we continue to sit or do we run to him? Do we hasten to him as the deer panteth for the water? Do we run to him or do you sense God's presence and you just keep sitting? Yeah. But God is saying, I want to connect with you, but you've got to want to connect with me. That's cool that Martha got the connection, but now Jesus says, it's you that I'm looking for. And is God saying that to us today? It's cool that your friend, your coworker, all those different people, you know, like you care about everybody else's relationship with God except your own. And today God is saying, in this season of April, in this season of resurrection, God is saying, I'm looking for you. I got them. I've got them. I'm looking for you. See, God is saying, I can get them and you at the same time. You can't do that. You can't carry your entire family and kind of make sure that you're good. But God says, I can carry them and make sure they're covered, they're protected, and I can also take care of you. But if your attention is so much on this and you're so busy, and I'm tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I miss you, will you do as Mary did? Jump up, leave the people, and run for Jesus. The people will follow. You know why? Because they nosy. Look, go to the next verse. What does the people do? Now Jesus, I love this part. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the same spot where Martha had met him. So I love this. Jesus does not even come to the place where Mary is. Mary decides, I'm going to go to the last place where Jesus was spotted. Where's that last place where you experienced the presence of God? Where was it? When was it? And what was that experience? Was it worship? Was it Bible? Was it fellowship? Run to that place where you know you connect with God. Don't stay where you are. Move to the next place where God has been last spotted. Verse 31. When the nosy folks, all the Jews, who were sitting with her, Mary, in the house, consoling her, saw how hastily Mary had risen and gone out. They followed her. Listen to what they thought. Supposing that she was going to the tomb to pour her grief there. Don't let people usher you to the tomb when you are trying to get to God. Let's go on and bring some flowers to the grave. And you're trying to get to God, but hold on. But I know you need to grieve a little bit more, but I want to get to God. But no, I know. She left them. And sometimes people will not understand the urgency. I got to get to church. I got to get the Bible study. I got to read my Bible. I'm sorry. I know I used to hang out with you. I used to watch that with you. I used to listen to that with you. But I've got to get to God. Be careful that people are not trying to lead you to dead places when you're trying to get to Jesus. But listen, they will follow you. As we continue to read this, it's not like they like, well, go on, let her go to Jesus. We're going to go to the grave. They nosy and they want to see what you are doing with your life. If you're following, if you can say amen. Verse 32. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was and she saw him, look at this. She dropped down at the feet of Jesus, at his feet. And she says to him, Lord, I can only imagine this pain. Her brother is dead. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. God, if you were there, I wouldn't have had to go through that. God, if you were present, I wouldn't have had to go through that. God, if you had kept me from that, I wouldn't have had to go through that. But what I love about this, and this is the alabaster box. Can you see her box? Can you see her box? Can you see the pain in her box? This is what I'm saying, that sometimes there's this expensive stuff, but this right here is a low moment for Mary. And if you've ever been in a low moment, do we go to God in low moments? And do we tell him how we really feel? God, I don't like what's going on. But some reason we feel like God, like if we're honest with God, he's going to say, who are you talking to? Like God going back up and say, yeah, you better get out of here with that. No, you know what he does? Come on, bring it. Because the more honest I am, I'm bringing it out of my box. But when I say, Lord, however you bless me, I'll be satisfied. But really on the inside, I'm hurting. But the right thing to say in prayer, because you're a good God, is God, I'll just be happy with how. But on the inside, I am so bothered. And God is saying, thank you for the flowers, but give me how you're really feeling. So in your time of prayer, be honest with God. If you don't like it, say, I don't like it. If you hate it, you say, I hate this God. The key is this. The more open we are with God, the more that God can usher us out of that place. But if I am not honest, then he can't access it. Does that make sense? If I'm not honest, he can't access it. But he's all knowing. He sure enough is, but he is a gentleman. He is not going to rip it out of the box. So give it to him. Lord, if you had been here, I needed you to show up 4 days ago. Did you not hear me? We're supposed to be tight, Jesus. But my brother is dead now. Look at God, Jesus' response in verse 33. When Jesus saw her sobbing, and not just her, but also the crowd, everybody crying, who came with her also, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. God feels your, whatever it is, pain, hurt, joy, sorrow. He feels it. Go to the next verse. Verse 34. And he said, where have you laid them? He's concerned about it. They said to him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35. I was joking about this on Bible study. People say, what is the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. But you hear that, but people don't talk about the rest. Why did he weep? Because somebody that he loved was in pain. And he felt it, their pain, along with them. If you can go to the next version of scripture. And so here is the final portion of the alabaster box. This is 12, and this is leading into some of what we'll talk about next week, Dylan, on Palm Sunday. So now Lazarus at this point has been raised from the dead. Everybody is happy, and the dead man is now sitting at the table having supper. Praise God. Could you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That somebody that was dead is now eating dinner with you? Oh my. I mean, what would you be doing? Ralph, what would you be doing if somebody you knew was dead? He was in mummy clothes. He was dead for 4 days. Jesus raised him from the dead. And I don't know how long this time. But now you are sitting at the table. I think if I was sitting across, I'd constantly be like, I would have all types of questions for him. So what was it like? I don't know. I was dead. I mean, like, do you remember being dead? You know, like, do you remember the moment that Jesus raised you and you were covered in mummy and you couldn't see and you couldn't breathe? And Jesus said, I mean, what was it like? But Jesus is at the table with Lazarus, who had died and whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Verse 2 says this. So they made him a supper, talking about Jesus, and Martha with her busy self. She's serving. But Lazarus was one who those that was at the table. Verse 3. And here it is, Mary. Mary deep, y'all. She brings a pound of ointment of pure liquid nard, a rare, I would add, expensive perfume. And she poured it on Jesus' feet. And then she wiped his feet with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Man, but how did she get here? How did Mary get to the place where what she brought to Jesus filled the entire house? Is it possible that our households are not filled with the fragrance of what we anoint Jesus with because we hold back? I can't pour that out. These were some painful moments that Mary had to go through. And I know this is perfume, but just think of it, that everything that she went through in life, imagine that it was being added. And then she gets to the point where she gets this revelation. She don't understand it, but she just walking and she's doing it. I don't think she knew that Jesus was about to die in the next few weeks, but she's led by God and she brings the most expensive thing to anoint or prepare his body for burial. He ain't dead yet. She's all the way at the tomb already. Revelation. And this is the part where I'm saying, is God leading you to just pour out your entire life towards him, whether you understand it or not? I don't know why I'm taking this expensive fragrance and pouring it out. It could be used for something else, but I feel God is leading me to do it. Why? Why? So I want to stop there. Is God today challenging us to pour it all out?
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.